Since the 1800s, Hickok & Boardman Insurance Group has been providing quality service and peace of mind to our clients. With our offices in Burlington, Stowe, and St. Albans, and our Dennis Ricker & Brown offices in Montpelier and Lindenville, we are here when you need us.
It's time for Radio Vermont's News and Public Affairs program, Open Mic with Hester Fuller. The phone lines to speak with Hester are open, 802-244-1777, and toll-free 1-877-291-8255. And here's your host, Hester Fuller.
Thank you very much, and good morning, one and all. It is a gorgeous spring morning, and we're really glad to have you along with us on a Monday morning, as we always do. Hope you caught those phone numbers, 244-1777, or toll-free, 877-291-8255. I'm very happy this morning to welcome the executive director and editor at VT Digger, Anne Galloway. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning, Hester.
We're here today we called you up because we want to talk a bit about this mess that's unfolding in the Northeast Kingdom around the EB-5 investment situation, the alleged fraud investigation that's underway. We also understand that Mr. Stenger has professed not to have known that this was going on. That was a story that broke this weekend, I guess, in the Free Press. The VT Digger's been on this for 2 years, I think, about now. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And I wondered if you could start just by sketching in broad outlines for our listeners who may be just kind of catching up to what's in the news.
Yes, well, it's very complicated, but the upshot is that on Thursday there was an announcement by the SEC that they were charging Ariel Quiros and Bill Stenger with misusing $200 million in investor funds, and that $50 million of it went into Ariel Quiros' own pocket. He essentially was using that money as a personal piggy bank and had purchased an apartment at Trump Place in New York City and had used the money for other personal uses. And my understanding, having talked to a number of people, is that the reason that the SEC is charging Bill Stenger is because he essentially enabled it to happen and was there and kind of watched it happen.
And didn't intervene. He had a fiduciary kind of responsibility.
Well, he was also going around the world attracting investors to this, and the SEC alleges that he knew what was going on.
And, of course, these projects that this money was invested to support were really kind of the cornerstone of what many in the region hoped would be a huge economic resurgence in the Northeast Kingdom. So there are a lot of folks kind of looking around wondering what's going to happen. Why is this coming to light now? It seems like something of this scale should have been sending out tremors well before now.
I think people were in denial. I think that there were a lot of warning signs early on, and people didn't. It was too big, and we wrote story after story about the projects, and especially ANC Bio. I wrote a piece last year about that particular biotech project, and it appeared from the beginning to be bogus, and why the state didn't draw attention to it sooner, I don't know, but there were some of the hallmarks of fraud there from the beginning. The fact that Bill Stenger and Ariel Quiros wouldn't provide the state with financials was a real problem, and that went on for years. The state requested an audit of the project long before investors started complaining. So the fact that they weren't transparent about what they were doing with investor funds for a long time is a bad sign.
And you credit denial with the fact that more formal action is 2 years 2 years in coming.
Well, it also took a really long time to do the investigation. I think the SEC won't say exactly how long they were involved in the probe, but it's been 2 years anyway, and so this is the. I talked to one person who said this is the biggest EB-5 fraud that's occurred in the country. Mm. It's one of the biggest fraud cases ever in New England. You know, I assume they probably, and it's complicated, they used 100 different bank accounts at 10 different financial institutions. There were more than 65 different business entities. To nail all that down takes time.
It sure does. The state has been showing this diagram that really looks like a plate of spaghetti carbonara. I mean, it's just this huge, tangled web. Now, VT Digger has a database that you guys created of political contributions, and just by going into the resource that you all created, you've turned up some interesting transactions, shall we say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, there are some major players here who have made contributions, and it turns out that I left one out. There's an attorney who worked for J.P. also who has given money, Chuck Leamy. You know, you have people like George Giulisano, who is the CFO at J.P., who's given a lot of money to the Vermont Democratic Party and to candidates, Peter Shumlin and others. And the upshot is that more than $70,000 was donated to Vermont Democrats through Ariel Quiros, Sanger, their affiliates, family members, and companies.
Now, to help us get that in perspective, of course, $70,000 is big money to most of the people listening to our voices here, but we've also been inundated with talk of contributions on a much larger scale. Where does $70,000 get you in Vermont? Is that a large pile of money in the scale of Vermont
yes.
political races?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's one of the... Unfortunately, our campaign finance database isn't fully operational. We're in the middle of finishing a six-year project on the data, but my read on it is that, you know, when you have someone like David Blittersdorf, who has given a bit more than that over the same period to Democrats, one estimate is closer to $150,000. Hmm. 70 grand is still pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, typically, having anecdotally gone over these data sets for a while, you know, you might have someone who gives $10,000 or $12,000 in a given year or given cycle. And so for Peter Shumlin to get $24,000 from Ariel Quiros and Bill Stenger over a two cycle period, that's pretty hefty chunk of change. Mm-hmm. And there aren't that many donors who have that level of capacity. This is pretty uncommon, I would say, that level of giving.
Certainly uncommon. But just to be really clear, have you turned up any connections at all between the events that are unfolding in the kingdom and these contributions, or is it really the circumstantial piece that we're looking at?
I think it's circumstantial. I think that there's What is interesting to me is that we had a story back in 2014 about the Tram House investors and how they felt duped by Quiros and Stenger because their shares in the Tram House were converted into IOUs, into loans. And I wrote a story about their complaints and how then the state responded in a way that surprised me. They basically defended Stenger and Quiros and blamed my reporting and said that it was inaccurate. And then I wrote a piece about the state's cozy relationship with Stenger in the fall of 2014. And that elicited an even more aggressive response from the Shumlin administration, in which they again came to the defense of Quiros and Stenger. And I think what's really alarming is that the Vermont Regional Center was designed to prevent something like this from happening.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's just clarify. The Regional Center is an arm of, I can't remember which level, but it's supposed to oversee these EB-5 projects. Is that right?
That's right. Vermont was the first state to develop its own regional center. In most states, you have nonprofit entities that run EB-5 programs, and there are some for-profit ones as well. And in Vermont, we chose to run our own, and the idea would be that we would provide oversight of the projects and help investors feel safe about putting their money into projects like those at J.P. and Kew Burke. And I think that, in fact, is what enabled Stenger and Kairos to collect so much money. They not only had the stamp of approval from the Vermont Regional Center, but they also had the state's politicians going around the world helping to solicit investors for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had Patrick Leahy, Peter Welch, Peter Shumlin, Governor Jim Douglas, all going overseas on behalf of the developers, telling investors that they thought that we had a good thing going here.
We're speaking with Ann Galloway of VT Digger about the mess, the alleged the fraud case that is unfolding around the J.P. Kew Burke investment, EB-5 investment projects. The names that are starting to bubble up, are spectacular enough, and the charges are just, it's almost too much to take in. But I don't want to lose sight of the folks who are employed at these places. The workers at Jay and at Kew Burke, I understand, have been assured that their jobs are secure, but how can we tell whether that sort of assurance is trustworthy?
Well, we won't be able to, Hester.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's face it. I mean, you know, there are no guarantees after something like this happens, but I mean, I do think that they're doing their best to try to keep things stable, and it really will depend on how the receivership goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the resorts are now being run by Leisure Hotels Resort in Kansas, and they're the designated management firm from the SEC, and Michael Goldberg is the attorney who's in charge of figuring out how to deal with the question of how investors will be paid back.
Mm-hmm.
And there are just so many unknowns at this point. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're trying to get answers, but it's really too early to get definitive answers because people are just figuring it out.
It's really hard. I mean, I think, too, of the Newport Renaissance. The city of Newport is now left with this gigantic kind of hole in the ground where there mm-hmm. once was a living neighborhood. Has there been any response from local folks there? Have they publicly responded to these events yet? Or are they still sorting it all out, too, up in Newport?
I think they're still sorting it out, too.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of thing is like a bomb going off. It takes a little while for people to come to grips with it because it's so big and so shocking. And I just don't think we're going to have answers. Those are great questions. And I think we'll start to see answers over the next month, but
mm-hmm.
it's going to take some time.
What do you think some of the steps we should be watching for might be?
Well, I think, in the coming weeks, we'll have a better idea of how the receivership is going to play out. And that's really crucial to your question about jobs and the stability of the resorts up there because they have to come up with a way to fairly remunerate the investors and make sure that people who were owed green cards are going to get green cards, and people who wanted permanent residency are going to get permanent residency. And if the investors feel that they've been wronged and they don't get some kind of share in the properties, I think there will be trouble. So they're going to have to, figure that out. That will have an impact on how things proceed. I'm not sure at this point if they're going to file for formal bankruptcy, if it'll go to Chapter 11, or if they'll manage a sale while Leisure Hotel Resort, while the folks are managing the place, are there if they'll be able to finesse a sale at the same time? We'll have a better idea in a month, but we won't probably really have answers for a long time. And meanwhile, the court case in Miami will start to start to kick in next week.
Yep. Somebody was asking me about that. Why is the court case being brought in Miami as opposed to up in the Northeast?
That's because Ariel Kairos has used companies based from his office in Miami for all the entities. So if you look closely at the 65-some-odd companies, a number of them have an address in Miami, and they're the entities that have been used for that have been used in the fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Ann Galloway, thank you so much this morning for joining us and being here on Open Mic to help clarify some of the things. This is a great, sprawling, sad, sad story, and really want to thank VT Digger for the incredible amount of work and quality work that you've been doing for 2 years at least on this story. I mean, it's the way I get my bearings in the morning, and I really want to thank you very much, and hope you'll join us again as this story begins to unfold some more.
Thank you, Hester.
You are listening to Open Mic. My guest has been Ann Galloway, the executive director and editor of VT Digger. We've been talking about the fraud investigation now underway involving the EB-5 investments at Jay Peak and Q Burke and in the city of Newport, which has seen some rough times in the past and now has a giant hole in it. And we are going to stay on top of it here at WDEV. We will keep track of what's happening, and we will let you know, and would appreciate your thoughts and comments on this when we come back from our first break. Good morning and welcome back. You're listening to Open Mic. My name is Hester Fuller. I'm with you every Monday from 9 till 11. Today, of course, our program is abbreviated. There will be no common sense this morning on WDEV, no common sense radio, because we're going to cut away to Fenway for the traditional Patriots Day morning Red Sox game. But between now and then, we have Open Mic, and we are expecting a special guest to drop in shortly, but between now and the time he arrives, I'd really love to hear from my listeners about what you think about this mess up in the Northeast Kingdom, this, the EB-5 scandal, fraud scandal that seems to be unfolding largely in Miami, but it certainly involves and affects a great number of people in our region. Give us a call at 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. You can call us on our nickel. Bob from Fairfax, what do you make of this mess?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thursday night on Shotgun Express, I'm sort of a guest co-host on Northwest Access Television. And in all of this, I said to my host, I said, you know, there seems to be one untouchable in this whole thing, and her name is Alex McLean. But if I'm not mistaken, I heard this morning an allegation that emails between herself and Mr. Shumlin have now been destroyed.
Well, I have heard that that Shumlin's office has moved to have email destroyed, but my understanding is the request came down before this stuff broke. I don't know the ins and outs of that, and I'm sorry that I didn't ask Ann Galloway about that and the timing, because I'm sure she's more aware.
Well,
than I am.
That makes it even worse, because it suggests that perhaps Shumlin was tipped off to this beforehand and did not disclose it.
Well, I could, you know, that's something I hadn't thought of. The other thing I was thinking of is that perhaps an ill-timed but fairly routine request to purge old electronic records may be behind this. And I think until I hear the ins and outs of it, I'm not really prepared to say one way or the other. But that is something absolutely that ought to get some scrutiny.
Well, you know, this smacks of impropriety, because she was a high official in his administration before she went over to Jay Peak. And I believe that the state of Vermont did not exercise due diligence if indeed this fraud went on for 8 years. Why did they not vet Mr. Quiros? Because it is well known that he's operated numerous shell companies that have appeared and disappeared down in Florida for years.
Well, you know what? It sure looked like a big tempting apple for a region of the state that certainly could use the investment, and I'm imagining some of that had something to do with it, too.
Yeah, but, and I don't want to think that we ought to say, well, this is all a Shumlin administration, because this whole thing started under the aegis of the Douglas administration, and now all the rats are running for the exits, and he says, well, talk to Pat about it. He knows.
Oh, boy.
Well, so did Douglas.
Well, we're just going to have to see how this unfolds. Listen, Bob, I really appreciate your call. I got kind of a stack of folks lined up to have their turn, so I'm going to have to let you go. But I hope you'll call again on Open Mic. Bruce from Stowe, what do you think about all this?
Yes, what a story, eh? Incredible. Just to answer your question about the emails, I did read a Vermont Digger article late on Friday that stated that the SEC warned the Shumlin administration 1 week before that this was going to go down. That was on April 7th, Thursday. Mm. And on Friday, the administration's attorney requested from the IT department to destroy the emails of the top five
aides. Oh, boy.
So you tell me. I mean, I'll give them the slightest chance that was a coincidence, but it certainly seems very unlikely, doesn't it?
It seems unlikely. The only thing that makes it seem even marginally likely is that I don't think the state moves that fast on anything. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I guess that was important to somebody in the Shumlin administration.
It sounds like we're just going to have to wait and see how that one plays out. Well, thanks for that little news tidbit, because I had not managed to absorb that. There's so much going on here. There's so much to this story. It's pretty crazy, and I hope you'll give us a call again, Bruce. Thank you very much. Steve from Barry City, you're on the air on Open Mic.
Yes, good morning, Hester. I think that I do know that the state was investigating this quite a while prior to April 7th, so I'm not concerned about that angle. What concerns me is that even though I know that the standard of evidence is lower for a civil action, it's preponderance of the evidence, I certainly hope that both the state and the federal government take a look at the possibility of criminal charges, because I think this is really an outrageous situation, and I'm saddened that Ramon has finally made the big time in a way that it probably need not have done.
I'm with you there. It's just really the whole thing. I said to a friend, it makes my soul sag to think about, particularly about Newport and the Northeast Kingdom, which of course is my home, just to see this happening. It just really, really dismaying.
You're absolutely right. I mean, people are really counting on a significant increase in jobs in Orleans County, which we all know certainly could use them. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Steve, for giving us a call. How about you out there? You're listening in. What do you think? What do you think about this mess unfolding in the Northeast Kingdom around the EB-5 investment visa investment projects that have been at play, at least. They've been underway since, goodness, is it 8 years that they've been doing this, that they've been attracting investors to make huge improvements, so-called, up at Jay Peak and at the Q Burke Resort and downtown Newport, a renaissance that was going to, the anchor of which was going to be a big biotech firm. They leveled a neighborhood, put a big hole in, and now nothing. Rich from Starksboro, you're on the air on Open Mic.
Good morning, Hester. I appreciate your Monday morning shows.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you're listening. What do you think? What do you think about this mess?
Well, I'm trying to. I'm not trying to, I guess, but I'm thinking about what the folks might think from other states and our presidential primary in New York being tomorrow, and this was just broke on Thursday. You know, we know. I'm certain that Bernie has nothing to do with this thing, but I wonder if the pundits are going to try to say, "Oh, this, look what goes on in Vermont," and I'm wondering if the timing actually wasn't even done this way with one of the super delegates that just mentioned destroying the emails might have. I mean, it's circumstantial, but you know, I'm just thinking, well, I wonder if that's really what happens. Pretty poor timing for this to happen, with the New York primary being such a pivotal primary for Bernie.
It is unfortunate timing, but I think we're just going to have to wait and see. I have kind of a Pollyanna view of my fellow man. I tend to think people do the best they can, and it takes a real bad apple to really want to pull something that
nefarious.
Well,
it's not like we're seeing some potentially bad apples on what the circumstances seem to show.
Yes, yes, I think you're absolutely right about that. So I'm kind of struggling with this one in my basic
attitude. Thanks a lot, Hester.
Well,
I really appreciate it.
Well, Rich, I really appreciate your call. Call again anytime. Thanks very much. You're listening to Open Mic here on WDEV. Hester Fuller is my name, and I will be with you until we have to cut away to the Red Sox. We are preempting Common Sense Radio today to go down to Fenway Park. But in the meantime, my buddy Tom McLeod and I are here, and we're eager to hear what you think about the situation unfolding in the Northeast Kingdom around those EB-5 investment projects, visa investment projects. 244-1777 is the number to reach us, or toll-free, 1-877-291-8255. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I haven't even had a chance to say hi to you since you came in the door. We've been just running like Topsy since you got here.
Yeah. And then get off the ground and running. Sad story, because I went to Linden State College, and we have family up there at great uncle who used to teach at St. Johnsbury Academy, loved Burke Mountain. Mm-hmm. So, and it's just such a beloved area. It just keeps chugging along. And then, of course, Newport. I love Newport. But so, you know, if you go up, like you say, from where you're from, you just feel the sadness up there, anger, but just, well, now what?
Yeah, well, I mean, the people that are there are also the gritty kind, you know. The people will knuckle down and just deal. But it's very dismaying, to say the least, to see this happen. And when I think about Newport, particularly in that gigantic hole that's been left there, it's discouraging. But that's not to say the Newport Renaissance was 100% this thing. There's some incredible people on the ground up there who are already doing all kinds of interesting things. I know CCV, Community College of Vermont, is a very lively, vital presence there. And I'm sure that they're going to be remaining involved in what it takes to get ourselves back on track in that region. And if you're involved in some way with the Renaissance up that way, or you have some other thoughts about what's happening at Q-Burke or Jay Peak, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Dee from Duxbury, what do you think about all this?
Hi. Well, I used to not think much about it. But my daughter lives in Newport, and I've eaten at the restaurant across the street from the hole.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard a woman interviewed on WCAX last week, and she said it's like we live in Beirut.
Mm.
No bombs, but, you know, so I didn't know if you heard anything about what's going to be done for that hole in the...
Haven't heard yet. I'll bet you dollars to donuts it's not going to be a great big biotech firm filling that hole, though.
No. Well, the biotech firm is supposed to go in across the street from where my daughter lives.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, but I think a hotel and a conference center are supposed to go in downtown Newport.
You know, you're right, and you just... Yep, thank you.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, it's just... It's really sad. It's just...
I agree.
Awful.
It is very sad. I think the one thing we can have some hope in, though, is the people of that region are gritty people. They will get up and they will deal. And I think, you know, it's not something that one small group of people can deal with alone, but there are a lot of folks, and Newport's going to see bright days again.
Yeah, I think you're right.
For sure. Thanks so much for giving us a call, Dee. We appreciate hearing from you. Appreciate hearing from all our listeners. Give us a call and let us know what you think about what's going on up in the Northeast Kingdom. 244-1777 or toll-free 1-877-291-8255 is our toll-free number. Hester Fuller is my name. I will be with you, for perhaps another 40 minutes. Is that we're going to cut away at...
right at 10:20.
At 10:20 and go down to the... folks down at Fenway Park and hear the pregame show for the Boston Red Sox game, which starts first pitch, I think, is 11:05. And joining me, I hope, shortly in our pre-pregame show will be former Sox left-hander Bill Lee, who is a born-again Vermonter, my neighbor up in Craftsbury, Vermont. We're going to welcome him in and talk a bit about the Sox and whatever comes across his mind. It's hard to plan for an interview with Bill Lee. And in fact, I don't think I'll bother. Anyway, right now, though, we have to stop and do a little business. It's about 22 minutes in front of the hour, and we'll be back on the other side with Open Mic. Good morning and welcome back to Open Mic on Monday morning here in April. Hester Fuller is my name. If you've been listening, you know we've been chatting this morning about the huge news that broke last Thursday, a major alleged fraud investigation in the Northeast Kingdom in connection with the EB-5 investment immigrant investor program, I guess is its formal title. The idea being that in certain economically needy areas in this country, if you live abroad, and you put, I think it's $500,000 into a project that generates, I think, at least 10 full-time jobs, you can get yourself a green card and come here and live. Well, we have a couple of developers who have been involved in that program to revitalize several spots in the Northeast Kingdom. Particularly, the money has gone into new improvements at Jay Peak, also at Q Burke Resort in Burke, and downtown Newport, which saw a neighborhood leveled and a hole put in, and anticipation of a great new hotel and conference center and a biotech firm supposedly going to be going in. But last Thursday, federal investigators from, I believe, the SEC came out to Lindenville or Burke, and there was a lockdown at the Q Burke Resort. And the next thing we know, the investigation is turning up signs of just massive fraud, misuse of money. And that's been unfolding, unspooling all weekend. An 81-page complaint came down on Thursday alleging that the two principals, Bill Stenger and Ariel Quiros, defrauded investors beginning as far back as 2008. Leaders in investigating this for the people, as it were, have been Vermont Digger. The Vermont Journalism Trust has been on this case for at least a couple of years and have reported very detailed and carefully researched pieces for a number of years, which you can find if you go up to vtdigger.org. You can get some solid background on this. One thing VT Digger did was create a database about campaign financing, and that itself, they've been able to go into that and uncovered some related interesting transactions, let's say, involving principals in the investment operations and some of our Vermont Democratic Party officials. So that's what we've been talking about this morning, bringing you up to speed. And we're taking your calls here at 244-1777 or toll-free 877-291-8255. Nils from Duxbury, you've been hanging on a while, and I appreciate your patience. What's your thought?
Hey, thanks, and enjoyed your morning show on Mondays. Driving, so I got to find a spot to pull over.
We don't want you breaking first, the law.
First things first, lots of us are winter sports people, and when this kind of thing happens to a ski resort, it hurts all of us in lots of ways, I think, and it's really a shame. Second point is, you know, the mess that they made downtown in Newport, taking out existing buildings to put something new in my view, is a travesty to begin with, but I'm hoping that another investor steps up, and I think, you know, I'd like to put that out as a positive sort of thought for people to keep in their minds.
Well, we sure could use one.
Excuse me?
We sure could use one. And do you have thoughts about what could be done with that great vacant spot?
I don't, but in the face of adversity, I would always choose to take a positive outlook, and that's why I'm mentioning it.
Thank you.
Third point I would make is I'm a builder, and I'm in the building business in a couple different ways. And I've done some business with not with Bill Stenger directly, but with his company.
Mm-hmm.
And I have done business with other resort owners in Vermont who I would happily spend time on a desert island with, people that had integrity from their sole to their feet to the top of their head.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about a couple of people in the Stowe area off the top of my head.
Right. But
this guy came off as being just really kind of not trustworthy and not interested in the, you know, sort of moving the ball forward. I mean, anybody that owns a lot of property at some point has to participate in the community in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
And the vibe, and I'm going to use that term because I'm not going to send you a file of legal documents to back up what I'm saying, but the vibe I got from him was just really not good. And yeah. When this news broke, I was like, yep, not a bit of a surprise.
Didn't surprise you. Yep, it's really...
Really
it's
a shame, and I hope that these guys, hate to say it, but I hope they're brought to account for all this mess, and you know, geez, it's the last thing that people up there need. So that's my comment, and I think, by the way, VT Digger, good for them. I mean, they're keeping us informed on this stuff, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, they really are coming across as you know, great champions of the people's right to know here. Carefully researched, carefully reported, fact-based commentary and reportage, and I really, really appreciate it. Thank you, Nils from Duxbury. Appreciate your call. Jim from Barrie, you have thoughts on the EB-5 immigrant investment program mess unspooling up there in the Northeast Kingdom?
Hi, good morning. What a mess.
Mm-hmm.
I had hoped to call before Ann left, but I wasn't able to get to the phone. I really wanted to give her an apology. I called Mark Johnson's show. Mark Johnson was actually still on at the time. When this first broke, I said that Vermont Digger was totally irresponsible in reporting this. I thought that investments of this nature with limited partnerships were way too complex to have a simplistic jump into conclusions. And, you know, this could be a self-fulfilling prophecy. All you have to do is put a doubt in the minds of the new investors, and the whole thing caves in based on the perception that she was creating. And I just felt there was way too much in the balance. I said, you know, you're jeopardizing the livelihood of an entire section of the state of Vermont.
Yeah, I take it your view has changed, though, with in light of recent headlines.
Well, that's why I'm calling to apologize. She was, you know, either very lucky or dead right.
Mm-hmm.
My hats off to her for pursuing it more and actually being the one that revealed it to begin with. At least that's what I think started the investigation. So, if you happen to see her, say Jim from Barry apologized. Maybe she's even listening. But
well, you know what, Jim?
The rest of us couldn't.
Well, you know what, Jim? Hop up to their website, vtdigger.org. She's got an email. You can send her a note directly. And I bet she'd be glad to hear from you. Thanks, Jim. Yep, VT Digger has really done a star turn here, helping us get our heads around this. And really, we should have seen it coming if we'd been paying better attention. It was hard, as Anne herself said, it was hard to sort of see that. There was a lot of denial wrapped around this because it promised so much hope for a part of our state that really, really could use that kind of shot in the arm. And now it appears more like a shot in the foot, if not a shot in the head. Who knows? You are tuned to Open Mic here on WDEV. The number is 244-1777 or toll-free 1-877-291-8255 if you have thoughts. We are going to take a bit of a break, and when we come back, we're going to change gears to something cheerier. So we'll be back after this on Open Mic. Good morning and welcome back to Open Mic. Hester Fuller is my name. 244-1777 is one of the numbers you can get to join the conversation here this morning. Toll free also, 1-877-291-8255. We're going to rattle right along here until about 20 minutes after 10. We're going to preempt Common Sense this morning because we're going to head to Fenway Park. That's actually the name of a radio show that we have here, Bill. My guest this morning is Bill Lee, who was a left-handed pitcher for the Boston Red Sox, is how many of us know him. Up in the Northeast Kingdom, though, we know him as our friend and neighbor and our favorite born-again Vermonter. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Hester.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm back in my studio. I used to work here, too, and I used to do their fundraisers for donkey basketball.
Oh, my goodness. That's right.
Yeah, and I used to fall off that donkey like everybody else in this studio.
Yeah, we have a lot of...
You always fall on your ass, off your ass.
Or off your ass. Yeah, I think so. Bill, you just got back last night. You've been gallivanting. Are you jet-lagged this morning from your trip?
No, I got a good night's sleep in Craftsbury. It was a beautiful night yesterday. We landed at 1:52 in the morning and then crossed the border Sunday afternoon, and was delayed at the border, my Fraley'sburg border, because there was a tall, lanky, neurotic Yankee fan that questioned me
coming in.
It was harder for me to get into the United States than it was for me to go through Canada twice.
You're kidding. The nerve of them.
Yeah, I know. I said, you know, you can always tell a Yankee fan. You just can't tell him much. It's amazing I'm not in jail.
Well, yeah, we've thought that often over the years. But you're not, and you're here with us this morning, and we're really, really glad.
Tell us about
your trip to Cuba. What did you? I should say to folks that you have been in Cuba for the last several days. And what are you up to down there?
I have been taking Little League teams, Pony League teams, and adult teams to Cuba since 1999. And we came up with the idea, a friend of mine up in Canada, and he has a travel agency, and he said, we have these hotels, they're all inclusive, and they're near ballparks. I said, bring the kids down, schedule 4 or 5 games, and do an exchange with the children in the village, and bring them back to Canada. So we did it last year. Louis Tiant was our ambassador. We traveled. They had beaten us down in Matanzas 4 times, so we brought them back up here, took them to Peggy's Cove, gave them McDonald's burgers, drove them on a windy road, and then we kicked their ass over in Kentville. So we've learned how to reciprocate, and it's a great cultural exchange because baseball is timeless. You know, I live in the Northeast Kingdom because you only age half as fast as every other human being.
I think that there's something to that. I really do.
I do, too.
And you're still playing. You're still doing a lot of swinging and running. You're quite a hitter.
I am. I'm the oldest player to win a professional game at 67. I won a complete game at 65. I pitched for the Brockton Rocks at 63. And at 61, I won the last game, Midnight Sun game, up in Fairbanks, Alaska, against a freshman team from UCLA. Me going to SC, it was that's all the incentive I needed, and I went out and I beat their ass, too.
Well, you know, I hate to say it, but it sounds like you've been slacking off then the last couple of years. All these things are right in the rearview mirror. What's coming up next?
Yeah, well, on Wednesday, I fly to Calgary, Diana's hometown, and we're going to rent a car, and we're going to go to Lethbridge and do another fundraiser for the kids from Alberta that I took down the week before into Holkeen. And then we're going to take 2 days vacation at Fairmont Hot Springs. And Fairmont is one of the most, you can ski in the morning, and it's halfway down the hill is a hot springs where you swim, and then you play 18 holes of golf at the bottom.
That sounds pretty much ideal for someone like you.
And it's the headwaters of the Columbia. You know how big the Columbia River is?
Yeah.
You know, down around Portland and Vancouver, Washington. I can step across it 3 times on the golf course, and I literally mean jump across it. It's the headwaters of the Columbia River. Uh-huh. It's a giant basalt. It lifts up. There's volcanic activity under it. That provides the hot water, and it's heaven on earth, and no one knows about it but me.
Yeah, and a few couple dozen people who might be happening to be listening right now.
That, well, they know about it.
And, yeah, but it's Monday, and it's a work week, and they'll
I've taken up all the rooms on Sunday, but you can have Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
There you go. 244-1777 or toll-free 1-877-291-8255. If you'd like to chat with Bill Lee or with me, we are here at Open Mic this morning. Now, the little crowd from Vermont just took off to go play some baseball in Cuba.
Yeah, Tommy Simon took the boys, the Burlington Little League. I played with the Burlington Cardinals. We were the Vermont State champs a year ago. We didn't win it last year, the year before. And Moreau Weinberger is my catcher. He's from Yale, and he's a great receiver. He can't hit a lick, but boy, he can catch. But what do you expect from a Yaley?
Oh, I don't know.
Not much.
You know that I'm sympathetic to that point of view. So.
I know you are. You're an Ivy Leaguer. You worked at Harvard, though. You can always tell an Ivy Leaguer. You just can't tell
him
much.
Can't tell her much. Yeah. We hear that rather often. But tell me about this. You did some fundraising for the crowd that's heading down, right?
It's funny. We had the best Cuban meal I had in the last 2 weeks was in Burlington, Vermont.
Now, where was it?
All the wives and mothers, they cooked mango bread. They had a mango bread contest. And I mean, if I had taken that mango bread, all of them, down to Cuba, they would have been the hit. I don't think they have much yeast down in Cuba. I know they make sugar. They got tons of sugar, and they have tons of coffee, and they have tons of tobacco. But they don't have much else. And I feel so sad. But it was these kids. We brought $150,000 worth of equipment from Hartford and Alberta, the province of Alberta, down. And we stuck it in the Holkeen Dog Stadium right down there in downtown Holkeen. We've done the same in Matanzas, and we're going to branch out, I hope. Inder, the governmental agency of Cuba, thought we were down there to lure their children away, kind of like the Pied Piper of Hamelin.
Or like the scouts who come from the American majors.
They do. Mm-hmm. But they get them and then they smuggle them into Mexico. Yusel Puig, the famous outfielder for the Dodgers, almost had his thumb cut off because they wouldn't pay the freight after they gotten him. And I know Ozzie Virgil Jr., my old catcher in the senior leagues, and he used to catch for Toronto and Atlanta. His father was my first coach. He's the first non-white player with the Detroit Tigers, Ozzie Virgil Sr., and he has been working and bringing those Cubans in here, I believe, illegally, which I think is a tragedy because the money does not filter back to the Cuban people who produce this young man. And I think that we've got to normalize relations, like Leahy said, and like Welch said, and like Obama said, and we have got to have equal access and no... Well, I'm a no-border guy. I don't see a border between Waterbury and Stowe. I know it exists. It's probably at the top of that ridge, but I don't recognize it. I don't recognize the border between us and Canada. I don't recognize any border. I am a sans frontiere. I am a Buckminster Fullerite. I believe that the planet will only succeed when we when we don't flag wave, and I'm an anti-flag waver.
So part of that no borders is supplying baseball equipment to Cuban kids. Is that
exactly
what you're getting to?
You have to provide. I believe in opening your hand and not having a short arms and a big nose, short arms and long pockets. Those guys are called Republicans.
It sounds like Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah, it's a T-Rex. Mm-hmm. A T-Rex and a Republican, they're very identical, and I think they're both on the extinction list. I believe that meteor's coming this year. It's coming into Cleveland, and that'll be the end of the Republican Party.
Oh, it's really a mess.
And it's going to make Chicago at 68 look like a...
Well, you know what? We got to stop for news briefly, but let's come back on the other side and take that up, shall we? That
sure.
Be all right with you?
You bet.
I'm glad indeed. And I want to encourage our listeners, if you've got something to ask Bill or you want to make a comment or remind him of something, give us a call at 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. That's our toll-free number. We are going to stop for news in just a little bit. I want to remind you that we are going only till about 10:20 this morning, and then we're going to slip right down to Fenway Park for the pregame show. The Boston Red Sox are playing. Oh, my gosh, it just slipped my mind. Who are they playing today? I forget.
Same team. So they're playing four-game series against Toronto.
Toronto.
Nice segue. From here to Fenway Park. Trouble is Buchholz is pitching, so tune in early because he may not be around.
Okay, we'll keep that in mind. We'll be back to talk Sox and even more. Right now, though, you are listening to WDEV AM 550 broadcasting out of Waterbury, also 96.1 out of Warren, Vermont, and 96.5 in Barry, Vermont. Also streaming worldwide on the World Wide Web, and we will be back on the other side of news with more Open Mic. Good morning and welcome back. You're listening to Open Mic here on WDEV. Hester Fuller is my name. My guest this morning, Bill Lee. And if you would like to talk with him, give us a call, 244-1777 or toll free, 1-877-291-8255. We're working on an abbreviated schedule this morning because at 20 past 10, we're going to cut away to Fenway Park for the Patriots Day game. Ken stopped by and brought something to my attention we surely want you to know about. The latest episode of Good Sports with Jasper Goodman is up on our website now, and on you can link to it also from our Facebook page. It's called The Future of Baseball in Montreal, and it's a little film. It runs about 8 minutes. There's all kinds of interviews on it. The mayor of Montreal is featured. Dave Dombrowski's in it. John Farrell, Pedro Martinez is in it, and more. And we hope you will have a chance to stop and watch it. Again, you can get to it through the WDEV Radio Vermont website or also through the Facebook page. So, two sponsors for that video, too. I should probably mention them, don't you think, Bill?
I think so, because it's a great cause.
Mm-hmm. Waterbury Sports and Waterbury Service Center, we thank you for your support.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So my guest this morning is Bill Lee, who's just back from Cuba, where he's been for years, it appears, squiring groups of young ball players from Canada down to play their age peers. And
oh, it's heaven.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a lot of fun. So when kids have not been to Cuba and they go down there and they participate in these games, how do they react to being in this sort of new place? Are they freighted with all the stuff we lay on Cuba as adults?
No, they have no idea. Mm-hmm. They don't know the political situation. I mean, Fidel Castro, when he landed with the 14 men and was up in the Sierra Madre, mm-hmm, outside of Santiago de Cuba, and the Batista forces had him down to about 7 rounds of ammunition, and finally all the peasants saved his life. And it's basically the peasants rose up against the Batista regime, which was basically a corrupted regime led by us. These children have no idea. They've never heard of the Bay of Pigs.
So all they do is come down and play.
They come down and play, and they go, they're just shocked. Their mouths open up when they get on the bus and head to the ballpark, because there are very few public cars. There's buses, there's diesel fumes, there's oxen, there's bicycles, there's little scooters, and there's people walking and walking and walking. And you say, these people are in great shape. And they're just amazed. The kids are amazed. They go down, they play the ball game. The Cubans are really nice. They let them score 5 or 6 runs early on, and then they just come back and beat them in the end.
Mm-hmm. But I bet they're pretty good.
they're so good. It is unbelievable. I mean, they bring in a closer every day, and it's Mariano Rivera.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Wow, an 11-year-old Mariano Rivera. That would be.
And, I mean, these guys are what I say they are. I mean, I've got 3 pitchers in Matanzas that I taught them the circle change. They didn't know the circle change.
What's the circle change for those of us?
A circle change is a pronated changeup that fades away from the opposite side of your arm. So right-handers, a left-hander can't hit it unless he tries to flick it in the left.
And that does that depend on whether the pitcher is right-handed or left-handed?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. A left-handed changeup goes away from a right-hander. And okay. I teach them to pronate so the ball goes away. Mm-hmm. And it looks like a strike, and at the end they swing at it, it's a ball. And it's Pedro had the greatest changeup, and he had amazing velocity with his four-seam fastball. And he had a yacker for your culo, as Eckersley used to say.
A yacker for your culo?
Exactly. Eckersley has the best vernacular.
I know he does, but translate for those of us who are.
It means a curveball for your ass.
I gotcha.
In other words, we call it a toilet curveball. And they go, why? Because when you throw it, you seem to go down and squat with both knees. And it looks like you're approaching the stool.
And it's very hard to hit. I got it.
Especially
impossible.
When you're squatting, you can't hit anything.
You know, I wouldn't know. So there's a bit of insight that I would never have come upon.
Yeah, we don't throw curveballs.
No, I don't.
I'm just bad hitters.
I'm a straight shooter.
We'll throw you the fastball. If you can't hit dead red, that's all you're getting is dead red.
Mm-hmm.
If you can hit dead red, then we'll throw you a yacker for your culo. And if you can hit that, then we have to throw the cambio. And once we throw the cambio and the cheese, the fromage on the interior, you know, that's pitcher's lingo, or that's Eckers. I'm just paraphrasing Eckersley. Eck is the funniest man on mm-hmm. the face of the earth.
Yeah, were you guys together at Boston?
Yeah, he came over when Manning ran off with his wife, and which is another story.
Yeah, I know. And maybe we'll go there, but right now we have, is it Andrea?
Hi,
Andrea.
Andrea
from Randolph. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi.
Hello.
I just I followed you, and I've always been enamored with Cuba for many, many years. I'm an artist and interior designer, but we raised our kids in the Randolph community, and my husband did a lot of sports with youth, and we had a secondhand sporting goods store. So I have residual baseball equipment, and I'd love to know, and I'd challenge others, how do we donate that equipment to go to your group down in Cuba?
Thank you very much. That's exactly, our used equipment is their good equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And what we give them is what they use, and I appreciate that. And I play ball with the Burlington Cardinals, and I play in Randolph. In fact,
oh,
I think
awesome.
I played at the bottom of the hill last year, and I won the first playoff game. I remember you had a really good pitcher. He's a right-hander with a good curveball, and he beat us the early on. And then we beat them the second game. But I live in Craftsbury, Vermont, and we will find out. Hester can write down all the information in WDEV, and we'll
sure,
find out. We'll find
yeah.
out a way, and we will get your equipment down there, because I'm allowed about a lot of extra baggage when I go out of Montreal on Transat Air and Sunwing, and we fly directly. It's very economical. In fact, you should put together a package, and you should come down with us.
There you
next
go.
Next time we go,
I
and
bet,
we should.
I bet we could put something together. I'd love to. I got a 4 to 5 year plan with a girlfriend. We want to go down and open a cafe and a little design studio. But
well, you need to go scout locations, it seems.
You are. I will help you there. I will help you there.
And I'm doing one with a group of kids in Bethel this summer at a new pool building they're going to do. And I think it's something, along with baseball, art is a great way for kids to get out, meet other kids, and express themselves. And if they need art materials, we should talk.
Yes, because we do that.
Pull together some good stuff and send their way.
Sounds
well,
good.
That's thank you. We're the first group. We go to a school, too, and we give out art supplies. We give out school supplies. And we were the first groups ever allowed in a school system in Cuba. And we will be able to do it all over Ender and the sports and humanities down there. They know we're not down there to steal their children, and they love us. And
great.
this is, and to, you're right. What Cuba needs is Vermonters to go down and open small businesses, you know, and I they need help, and we don't want the big McDonald's corporations. We don't want anything down there. We want small ideas that flourish and help the people.
Sounds like
a
plan.
Well, it sounds like a great exchange program, and you've done a wonderful job spreading the word. So I look forward to visiting with you again. Come to Randolph, and we'll have coffee.
Okay. And
I'll
let you look at the Vermont Senior League and find out when Burlington plays Randolph, and we got a date.
There you go. Okay, Andrea, thanks so much for calling us. And if you have a question for Bill Lee, give us a call at 244-1777 or toll-free 877-291-8255. 8255. You were getting very excited there, Mr. Lee, just a second ago.
That just gives me chills. It makes, well, actually, I've had too much coffee. It makes me perspire. And but that's exactly, I know what they need. And if Bernie Sanders gets elected, I have to be the ambassador to Cuba.
I think he could do a lot worse than send you to Cuba. That'd be good.
He could do a lot worse because
could they send Louis?
I know the Louis and I will be like Dumb and Dumber.
El Teniente and the Spaceman.
Exactly. El Teniente and the Spaceman. We will go down. He'll translate for me and I'll translate for him.
That sounds like a plan. There we go. So Andrea is formerly a proprietor of a sporting goods store, and you're welcome. You're interested in having other folks with access to equipment that could go down there?
We have so much stuff in mini storage in this country. We could actually save the Cuban people and the sports end of it. They ran out of baseballs this year, and they're professional league.
Ran out of baseballs?
They ran out of baseballs, and we, our group out of Canada, provided them with baseballs so they could finish their league. In fact, their game was probably last night was game 7, and it was the Pinar del Rio versus Ciego de Aviles, the Leones versus, I don't know what the Pinar del Rio team's called, but that's where Tony Oliva's from.
Uh-huh.
Tony Oliva, the Minnesota Twins, and his brother Juan Carlos Oliva is from La Consolidacion de Pinar del Rio, and I could drive right to his house, and they remind me of my father in a 50 Chevrolet with 8 kids in it, with his old army duffel bag with 2 bats, the bases, and the catching equipment. And that's what we would do. We would go out to a park, we would put down the bases and make our own field.
That's
Cuba.
And that's how it goes. That's
and
how they
that's
roll.
How it goes.
It sounds like a wonderful spirit too. I mean, here are people who love their baseball. Is it a national sport?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. We were driving back from Tuckahoe, and we were coming through the windy thing over a pass where a lot of the one of the major battles against Batista was, and there were a lot of flags and the people that were Cienfuegos, a bunch of people. And on the other side was a ball field, and they were playing ball, and our bus stopped, and we got involved in the game. We gave them a whole bucket of baseballs, a couple of bats. And they just waved at us as we drove off into
That's
the
fantastic.
Future.
What a great story. We only have a couple minutes left before we cut away to Fenway Park. My guest this morning, Bill Lee. You know him from the Boston Red Sox, and you know him from the Montreal Expos. And if you're in Craftsbury, you know him from just around town. Tell folks a bit about your baseball bat operation up there. You got a sawmill at Craftsbury, don't
I
you?
I have a sawmill.
You only got 2 minutes, though.
I have an Old Lane sawmill. I brought it from Groton. We did it in the middle of the night, George Allen and I. And then we built a little lid over it, and we built a storage shed, a drying shed. And I've been cutting billets up there for 4 years, and it's the Axis Bat Company. We turn them in Fall River. I get a lot of my product from Ames down in Wallingford. So it's all Vermont product, and it provides jobs for Vermonters, and that's what I do. I just think that we need more small manufacturing in this state.
And particularly where we are. It's true.
Yes.
You can drive by any time. You can roll right by, and it's an open-air sawmill. I guess we could call it that, couldn't
it? It is definitely. Trust me.
Right there on Black River Road.
Yeah, we don't want the inspection people coming by because it shut us down in a heartbeat.
Okay,
of course,
well,
we don't
run.
We only run in the middle of the night.
Okay, well, we'll keep that quiet. I wish we could talk for hours and hours. Not unfortunately. We're going to Fenway for a ball game, so I don't think that's unfortunate at all.
What a segue. I get in my car. I get to turn on the radio.
There you go.
And I'll be listening on
you
the Barry Station, 96.1.
Yep.
And that's all I listen to.
Okay, I got to cut in here quick and tell everybody what we're listening to. WDEV AM 550 out of Waterbury, 96.1, as the man says, out of Warren. And
okay.
Then 96.5 is the radio station coming at you out of Barry, Vermont. WDEV, right here on the Nifty 550, the friendly pioneer.
Nice
Vermont.
Job, Hester.
WDEV News
show.
Radio.
Great
well,
show.
It's a great show, and I have great guests, and I want to have you back for definite sure.
Yes, you do have great guests.
Remind you, if you missed most of this, you can catch us online. We have a podcast for this program, too. So we'll see you next Monday.
The Open Mic Podcast is brought to you by Hickok Boardman, Dennis Ricker, and Brown.
Find us online at hbinsurance.com, and you're always welcome to visit us on Facebook. In Vermont, online, on the phone. Hickok and Boardman Insurance Group. We are here when you need us.